Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Managing Change 2 on InternetBlogTalkRadio.com with your host, Ronald Allen. This is home for truly engaging conversation. Managing Change 2 brings you an eclectic perspective on issues that affect you, the id, the family nucleus, careers, business, and that entrepreneurial spirit that is uniquely American. And yes, a word or two about life's perspectives on managing change, for that human touch that drives us to unique heights of accomplishment. Carve out the time every Tuesday and Thursday at 7 p.m. for Managing Change 2 on InternetBlogTalkRadio.com with your host, Ronald Allen. Now also streaming on www.managingchange2.com, Internet radio at its best. Now your host, Ronald Allen.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Managing Change. I am your host, Ronald Allen, and this evening's program is certainly a tribute to the last 12 months of our programming. It is the end of the year. It is December the 31st, and as our title of today's program, Another Year of Resolutions? Really? Well, that's what we're going to discuss, and I'm going to let Mr. William Weldon. He was the former chairman and CEO of Johnson & Johnson. He is a director at ExxonMobil, where I do have some of my own stock. And he says, in the business world, adapting to change is an essential skill. The same is true in life, as Mr. William Weldon expresses in this article. And that is absolutely true, and that is why I have embraced the methodology of the PROCEE system in talking about organizational change, managerial change systems and initiatives, and most recently, change enterprise. That is, change that affects not only the whole company, every business unit, every line of distribution or delivery, support and systems. More importantly, it talks to the resolution that should go through the whole year and should be part of the philosophy of a company. And I will even bring that down to the level of the philosophy of you, the individual, through your New Year's resolutions. We know that typically and statistically, most resolutions don't last. So we're going to give contribution. We're going to provide some possible solutions to you, the individual, your family resolutions that perhaps are certainly more of a challenge, business resolutions if you are a business owner, if you are an executive director who's running a division, perhaps supervisor, manager of people, the same skills that we share in process management, even project management. If they're looked at on the human level, then they can be applied across all manner of situations that we find ourselves in. And of course, in retrospect, looking back on our lives so that now we can certainly look forward to and use that phrase, if I knew then what I know now, well, yes, you can. Those resolutions that you made in the past, those experiences that you've gone through and weathered, those storms, those opportunities, those winning propositions, then you can use those experiences over the next 5, 10, 20, and even 30 years, as we've found through the National Association of Aged and the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, people are living 20 and 30 years after they retire. Truly a paradigm shift and an incredible opportunity to reevaluate your skills, develop new skills, create new opportunities, change for the better. So that's what we're going to talk about today, right here on Managing Change. For those of you who have been sending in your feedback on our three questions on our website, managingchange2.com. That's a 2, number 2. No jokes there, please. Thank you very much. And we have been providing those answers on our business page on LinkedIn. And one of our associates had brought that to my attention, and we thought that would be a really cool way of kind of cross-pollinization or pollinizing both sides from those that come and see us on LinkedIn. They see the profile, they see some of the information we provide on the business page, and you can simply, of course, go to LinkedIn, go over and just tab in Managing Change. That will come up as a company or group, I should say. And there you'll start to see some of the questions that community stakeholders, interested parties, we even had a nonprofit. I have to get an answer to that one. That one's a little tricky. And I typically go either to LaSalle, the nonprofit incubation technical assistance out of LaSalle, out of Philadelphia, or I get my responses from the New Jersey Nonprofit Center out of East Brunswick. So again, the information I'm providing is, I believe, and I haven't been told otherwise, definitely reliable. It is definitely researched. And just as with my adaptation to the PROCE method in change management, it's substantive. These are tools that we can use and measure our effectiveness. So let's talk about New Year's resolutions. What are your New Year's resolutions? We're going to see if we can turn on the phones. We don't typically turn them on all too often, but we do have the chat room that we have set up, and you can certainly go into managingchange.com. We will go into our chat room here. Let's see. There you go. And, of course, you can give us a call on 347-843-4378. Every now and again, if we don't have guests, I think we'll open up the lines and see what people have to say, what's on their mind. We ask you, of course, to be polite because you're not the only person that's necessarily listening to this. And we want to provide some value. So New Year's resolution. I'm going to start off with a resolution that I've actually been working on for 20 years. And this resolution is with my mate, my wife, we're in our 20th year. And it's funny, today I was in Radio Shack and I was buying a piece of coaxial specialty cable for one of our systems that seems to be on the blink. And the gentleman, for some reason, said it is his anniversary. I said, married? He says, yes. I said, how many years? He said, 4. And my instinctive response was, well, you call me when you've hit 20 and you want 20 more. And it was unbelievable. The whole store, it must have been about 7 or 8 people, just burst out laughing. Some kind of embarrassment. Some were very excited. And it just kind of laid a patina for tonight's program, talking about resolutions and talking about delivering them, having the ability to deliver them. Remember, William Walden says, adapting to change is an essential skill. The same is true in life. The same mentality, we like to exhibit our authoritativeness, our knowledge, our technical abilities at work. Do we not have the sustainability, the stick-to-itiveness, the ability to go the distance when we're at home as much as we do in the professional working environment? Why is that? And what is it about our cultures and social breeding that tell us one is more significant than the other? Because after all, you see many a relationship who have hit the rocks, look back with regret and say, you know what, we could have changed this, we could have adapted to that, we could have been more able to listen. And that is the same response we get at work with our employees, with the people that we manage, the people that we work with. It is a matter of pulling back that emotional charge of at the moment wanting to be right, at the moment wanting to get the immediate results, and saying to ourselves, just a minute, I think I've been here before, deja vu, if you will, and giving yourself a little time. New Year's resolutions are really about giving ourselves another opportunity, aren't they? They are recognizing that perhaps what we wanted last year is as important as it is again this year. And then saying to yourself, okay, let me go back to the drawing table, the draft table, if you will, and let me see if I can make this, what I say, what I want, happen a second time. In relationships, and I'm very much a stickler to that, you can ask my own family, I don't give too much leeway if significant differences are apparent, and I just let it go. Fortunately, for 20 years, and this young gentleman I met at Radio Shack, I hope in 20 years we can bump into each other somehow, some way. Social media would have gone to a whole other level by then. He can look back and say, I remember you in Browns Mills. You came in for a piece of equipment, and I mentioned to you it was my fourth year anniversary, and he was excited. Can we be as excited in our business environment? Can we be as excited in our resolutions that we make any time between January and February, and then be as excited come the middle of the year, the end of the year? Maybe we can come up with a questionnaire, and I'll have one of my web developers come up with a game that you can enter your resolutions now in the first quarter and come back every 3 months and reevaluate. What is it? Where are you along that line of accomplishing and or maintaining? Sometimes it's a matter of just maintaining your status quo, maintaining the environment that you're trying to build. Change is not just an abrupt move away from what you're accustomed to. Change is not just a matter of your circumstances being against you or going against you. It could very well be a situation where you're embracing more responsibility that you wanted, that you cultivated. How do you manage that change in a comfortable manner? We've used mapping your mind for success. I've done a number of workshops out there in the marketplace, and people find it very interesting, very user-friendly. I had a number of responses. You can find them on my website, ronaldmallen.com, under testimonials, where people have said, I came thinking that I was going to get mapping your mind, and I got so much more. Because it's tied to the human side of our dealing with life, tied with the human side of wanting and recognizing that our situation needs to be addressed. Not necessarily changed, but addressed. Adaptation. Every creature on the planet, including trees, the horticultural world, it all adapts. We should learn to be in that state of mind 24/7. Some people have said to me, well, it's too much work. Is it too much work? Is it any more work than when we find ourselves at a loss for addressing our challenges? When we find that the supervisory opportunity has been blown past us because we exhibited behavior that wasn't congruent with the interest of the business, which is really the people? Is it too much work when we realize that our child or children no longer communicate with us because we've failed the fundamental skills of communicating with one another? I think corporate resolutions, New Year's resolutions, you can tell I've been reading my stock portfolio today, my corporate resolutions. Your New Year's resolutions are just that, promises to ourselves that we fail to sustain. We fail because we don't have the right mechanism in place. We fail because we don't take time out to feel what's going on. Companies send their corporate executives away to brainstorming sessions, masterminding sessions. They send them away on retreats so they can cleanse the mind of the pressure. They can reinvigorate their minds. They can distract themselves for a moment and come up with fresh ideas and, most importantly, energy. Like a high-performance celebrity, a high-performance sports figure, a high-performance engine, and I love to use this analogy. If you've seen rockets, jets, high-performance cars, the Porsche 959 is a masterful piece of engineering. They spend 60 to 75% of their time being tweaked, to being tooled, being adjusted and analyzed. Perhaps we should do the same thing. When you wake up in the morning, can you wake up half an hour early and review your New Year's resolution? Can you take time out during the course of the day, 10, 15 minutes, and meditate, calm your mind, bring down all the anxiety, and think of where you would like to be? And for maybe 10 seconds, you will find an answer to a pressing challenge. Is it an HR issue? I hope to have an attorney who is very well knowledged in this arena. Is it in your personality type? I have a guest that I'm hoping to have on, and that is this person's business, personality types. Do we use it? Do we use these tools, or do we just go to the workshops and these breakout sessions and these forums and come away with a bag full of goodies only to throw away the essence of the opportunity that has just been presented? We craft wood into furniture. Many of you, if you're into the arts, may know the term Rococo work, Rococo woodwork. And you may have seen some of the elaborate homes of the 18th century, early 19th century, where the full stairway is all wood, the ceiling, the wainscoting, the floors, the banisters, the rails, everything is wood. That's called Rococo design. How does that knowledge of the craftsmanship that goes into that help you, the average person, deal with your job? Is it the skill sets that that person needed to apply and mold the wood? Is it the understanding, the physics, the chemistry, of how that wood would behave over time, heat, moisture, dampness, weight? Is it the understanding that I can use those same skills in my business, with my family, to engage my children, to engage my fiancé, to bring back the juice of life? Is it not the same skills that a teacher brings into a school to engender to the students? Then is it not our responsibility as thought leaders, as supervisors, managers, to bring that same excitement back into our workforce? And don't be fooled. The people that are so stoic and feel that, well, those resolutions are for somebody else, I'm on the right track, there's always opportunity to expand. There's always opportunity because what we know today is limited. If we think of that phrase, if I only knew then what I know now, and move that forward 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, just 5 years, God forbid we go any further, our brain might explode. But tonight it won't. Think of what you could do if you align your thoughts with what you know now that you did not know before, and how you can project, as NASA projects a rocket into space, in order to hit its target, knowing a number of variables. And once, as they say in war, once war has started, everything you have considered changes. all those relationships, all the dynamics change. So when we go out to work, when we go out to impact our employees, when we go out to deliver a product, I was with some government agencies over the last 2 months, and I'm getting my procurement certifications, and I found that it's not in the process of getting your company certified. It's not even in the process of winning the contract. It is following the very detailed process and procedures to prepare, manufacture, if necessary, box, and ship that item the way the procurement bid, the RFP, requires it. And it's amazing, 30 to 40% of the businesses will get their certification, they'll win a bid, they'll have the best product, finish, quality control. They don't follow the details to bring it across the finishing line. So our resolutions are grand, we're made, they're forged at a time of high excitement, anticipation. It's a new year, I don't know why, it's just another day. Unless your goals are met, unless your achievements have been realized, it's just another day. You could have a New Year's every single day if you meet your goals. Why not? Why not build up a momentum, if you will, of mini accomplishments? And as you accumulate those accomplishments and the challenges that sometimes make you take one or two steps back, you reward yourself. You acknowledge that you are an evolving entity. Just like a computer, you program it and you add a little bit more. You add some more space. You add some more RAM. You add some more ROM. Add some more whiskey. Not on the computer. But you add these components so that you, the individual, become more adapt to additional situations that you've encountered. Take your position today, look back at the situations you've incurred, the challenges, whether it's you, the individual, in your family, definitely in business, if you're running a business, if you're in charge of a division or a business unit, and you're looking for the right tools, you're looking for the right processes, the right applications, the right systems, what have you learned from your past? Are you surrounding yourself and utilizing those professional associations, not just when you need them, but rather, as we've said in the past, helping others who are reaching out for help? You'll be amazed what you learn from these people. You know that we provide a lot of resources, and this year, 2014, I'm really going to ramp it up. That is another one of my resolutions, and it's already in play. Maybe that's another approach. Maybe that's another approach. Instead of saying, I'm going to start, how about reaching back to what you've already done, even if it's unfinished, even if it's not in the condition or at the status that you would like? It is a product in motion. It is an evolving project. Take that project. Learn new skills, learn new methods, learn new applications, and bring it further along. Many challenges in the sciences, researchers especially, I have two friends who do a lot of research, and they tell me it's all trial and error. And many times, most of the times, just as in sports, 33% batting average is great. You're talking 66% failure rate. So if we understand the dynamics of our world, if we understand that in most cases we're not going to succeed, but rather we'll push the ball further down the court, we'll get our goals and objectives from where they were to where they are, and then on further, step by step. We talk about strategies. We talk about tools that help us to develop both personal and professional development. You know, I'm an avid coach and mentor advocate with the Tri-State Charm. They have, I think, probably the most affordable membership with incredible support mechanisms. And you have to engage. You have to give yourself time. If you make a New Year's resolution, if you're making a New Year's resolution and you're saying, well, it's going to run for the full year, then surely we should be considering measurable steps along that year that will say we're making progress. Surely we should say, okay, if I'm 20% along now, I've just started, and I've moved it, say, 20% to where I want to finish up, then maybe I'll look for the first quarter 40%, 38%, 35%, and enjoy that experience. When we talk about the fundamentals, abilities and adaptation, what are our current abilities? Where are they? Do you have a means of measuring where you are? Do you have some form of system in place, a methodology, a process to measure where you are as to where you were in the past? When we talk about coaching, typically 80% of the people that go through any form of coaching, and this is from the International Coaching Association, 80% of the people that go through coaching feel satisfied. And you know why? It's not that they get 100% satisfaction, which is really interesting. It is that they moved off of where they were. They have made an attempt. And this actually speaks to basic psychology. It's back to that child, the need of the child. I don't need a lot of stuff. What I need is you to be present so that we can communicate, we can talk. And that same psychological need in the child is relevant and stays with us throughout our lives. You heard the expression, my grandmother, my grandfather has reverted to a child. Perhaps we've really never left that stage of simple recognition. You've heard of the multi-million dollar sales producer fighting tooth and nail for a $5, $10, $15 t-shirt that he could probably manufacture himself off the price. Fundamentals will never change. The technology we have to move information, to store information, to quantify data will always improve. At the same time, the fundamental needs of the human being are just that. And I'm not just talking food, shelter, clothing, and protection. I'm talking about the need to communicate and say, where do I stand with this company, with my job, with my skills? Credentials are one thing, but we're talking even more fundamental. We're talking how we communicate with one another, how we embrace that other person's culture. I told you a while ago, just before Thanksgiving, I'm working with a gentleman in India. He tells me about his national day of recognition of family and friends. It's a recognition of life. And my doctor here, more than 10,000 miles away, was totally surprised that I knew anything about it. Now, she has all the degrees in the world, and I think she thinks I have a PhD. The one thing that has now endeared us to her is my recognition of a nationally recognized event. And that goes so much further than most of the other forms of social or political recognition that we may put weight to. So it's interesting when you research, and again, you can go broad, you don't have to go very deep. It's nice to know where many of these research tools come from, and certainly I do enjoy that part. But it's going broad and being able to converse, and then letting other people, guess what? Letting other people help you build your resolution. What if you were to come out and say, this is what I want to achieve. Can you help me do that? This is what I want to do for this year. Do you know other people or other systems that can help me achieve that? That would be an incredible way of networking. And you could start a mastermind group. I'm part of a mastermind group. We meet every Tuesday. We meet every Tuesday morning. And we come physically together. This is not a webinar or a free conference calling with the Skype video stuff. This is face-to-face. Come meet at someone's house, and we talk about what it is that's important for our business to reach and sustain. And certainly we are in the identification stage. We've done some strategies, some tactical. We've done some marketing, and we help one another. That's a resolution I will take into 2014. My wife's 20 years is a resolution I will take into 2014. The work that I'm doing here, certainly on the radio side, working with Guitar Center in Cherry Hill. They have one in Fairless Hills. They have one in Monmouth. We've been to all three. The one in Cherry Hill, though, I go to on Saturday mornings because they provide technical assistance. And it is a totally different world. It is not the business world, yet it is the business world because their customers, me and the 12 or 13 other people in that room, all buy equipment. Isn't that interesting? We talk about wavelengths. We talk about resonance. We talk about different instruments, electronic instruments that create sound. We talk about all the technical aspects. Yet, when I walk out, the satisfaction I experience is that someone is willing to help me learn, navigate, adapt, and change my thinking so that I can do and produce a better program. And that takes time. And that is the real value of managing change, organizational change, the thought process behind all the academics of what we do. So here we are. This is Managing Change on December the 31st. It's just 7:30 here, coming up to halfway through our program. We have placed on our website a number of tools that you can utilize, and I think we will put up a kind of a survey questionnaire where you can go each 3 months. You can add content. We'll let you add content from time to time. But like the question and then the survey you see right now on our website, which is specific to change, this one is going to be about resolutions. What are you doing? What it is that you want to achieve? And then during the year, what are you doing to sustain it, to make sure that you are on track? Our newsletter also helps with that because it brings you a number of different tools, whether it's mentoring and coaching, which is one of our fundamentals, neuro-linguistic programming. Do you ever find that you're in the company of people and all of a sudden your mind goes back to a different time and period? Maybe it's a smell, aroma of someone's cooking. Maybe it's a sound that takes you back or to, not necessarily back, but to another place, another experience. That is part of neuro-linguistic programming. It is a way of understanding how our senses create imagery in our mind. It's a way of understanding who you are, what you are. And when you do feel those emotions, then you can decide, which is exactly where you want to be. Now you can decide, what do you want to do? Do you want to embrace it? Do you want to duplicate your past experience, your past reaction, your past behavior? Do you want to do something else? And if you do want to do something else, do you want to anchor it, that sound, that smell, that experience, to another emotion? That's a very powerful one. And I've used it. and I recognized it. You have to recognize it first, and then you have to want to move your mind into a different zone. I'll call that a different zone. People might frown at some of these sciences, yet it's the very discovery that moves us from thinking the world is flat, thinking that one group of people are coined or seen in one way, seen as a particular behavior. It is the same willingness to consider what even Bertrand Russell talks about with what we thought were inanimate objects, until we understood that the molecules moved around so fast that density is created. The same kind of open thinking or possibility thinking with the sciences with the stars. And I know nothing about that type of science, quantum physics. How can galaxies implode and be created at the same time? Well, isn't that the same perspective when we look at someone at our jobs? When we see a supervisor or a manager and they're about to go off because of a perceived issue at work, it takes the same thought process in both scenarios and in all scenarios to decide that instead of reacting, we're going to listen, we're going to absorb, and even if we don't understand, we're going to give ourselves some time to let that experience soak in. Now, many people, many times, supervisors and managers will panic and say, well, we don't have the time. Well, you do, because if that project, we talk about change management, if that project is not processed, is not executed, is not allowed to be warmed by the other employees and all those that are involved, then you can bet your bottom dollar you're going to be spending a lot of time putting out fires. And that is the testimony that says it is better to think about it overnight than to react. Those resolutions that we make, perhaps we should seek to become unconsciously competent in our behavior, where we instinctively do things that help people, situations, and processes, instead of, which is the weak-minded approach, or the rather simple approach, which is to blame. We fall back on, well, what do you expect? Instead of just being quiet, being silent, as in Toastmasters, they talk about the silence between words, phrases, and sentences can affect the message. And so we manage ourselves by saying, I'm going to wait. I'm going to think this one through. In fact, I'll tell you a quick story. We did have a situation like that where our dearest UPS misplaced packages for, let's see, now it's going on 7 days, 8 days, because even Christmas being the 25th. And as much as we thought, well, okay, we could certainly call up the senator, we could make a big stink about that. We can certainly send a letter to public relations. And then I said, well, wait a minute. What if I put together a memo and highlight all the people that helped us and said, these are the people that make your business work. What happened to the other group? And why was it not connected? It is much more constructive to approach a situation like that where the majority of other people will tend to look to blame. And you get a different resonance out of the situation, the feel, the emotional challenge, the tempo of your brain, the wavelength are longer instead of sharp, crisp, and I'm going to use that because the gentleman at Guitar Center was talking about high-pitched and low-pitched and was it bass-tone voices. You get a different pitch. It's the same thing that can be said at work. If you're sharp and curt to your employees, other employees see that. Now, they may feel the other individual, they had it coming. It's just that your approach is wrong because they don't want it put upon them in a public environment. So there you see the difference with certainly trying to correct a situation, certainly trying to even show your authority. In showing your authority, you need to do it in a constructive manner. That's why many executives have coaches. That's why many executives play sports. That's why a few executives actually engage in comedy. Angie Engel of the Manhattan Comedy Club shared that with us. And there was a gentleman who is Andy Engel. He's the founder owner of the Manhattan Comedy Club. He has a group of Wall Street executives that come in once or twice every year, and they just have a private session of just talking about experiences that they've had during the course of the year, and it's all steeped around comedy. So as you see, comedy is certainly a releaser of tension. It is a way of venting. You know, a good hearty laugh can cure many ills. So another year of resolutions. What's going to be different? What is your why? We talk about that quite a few times. And in all our guest interviews, you hear that their why became so strong, they had to move out and or act upon it. So our resolution should not be frivolous. It should be a very serious ritual, if you will, that helps us, the individual, move on issues that are important to us, that help our families, our extended families, our adopted families, adopted in all senses, whether you rescue animals, whether you find yourself talking to an individual at a certain stop along the way each day or each week into work. Perhaps you have adopted someone at a local store because you go in for a coffee, a sandwich, and you just have good conversation. Giving yourself time out also means in business. There are so many areas of challenge. When you set up your business, you had to put your pro forma, you had to do your balance sheet, your income statement, a forecasting. What is also interesting about that is I've noticed most of the software and even TurboTax and all the banks do what I call a retro forecast, a retro cash flow. And that is, what did we spend last month, last quarter, last year? And that's now, okay, for CPI, you might add 5-10%, maybe cost of raw material, maybe another 7-8%. Salary wages, as you know, under HR, federal employment, cost of living for employees, wages will be now fixed in certain states. And you add those percentages up and you say, okay, well, we'll forecast for the future. But what about an actual piece of software, which is affordable, that you can forecast on a weekly, monthly, quarterly basis? And you can move payments around and call up your vendors, your suppliers, your creditors, and haggle, negotiate. And that's a tool that could certainly help. That's a tool that a New Year's resolution would be improved by. I know many our baker, our oil company, they're all talking to us, and I speak to them all the time. I want to find out what's going on in the market. And they're telling us all the time, the homeowners today are literally asking them to hold checks for up to a month. Never heard about that before. Never knew you could. Even the baker, he had put together so much produce that day, just a couple of days ago. And he said, well, he's in anticipation of New Year's. Christmas was slow. even at the farmers market, which is huge. It's not a ragtag market. This is a well-established open-air market with a closed-in section. People come from New York. They come from Connecticut. They come from Philadelphia. I'm sure they come from Delaware. And you might get 40, 50,000 people on a Sunday. And now we're coming, well, we've already finished Christmas. And they said it was slow, very slow. Many vendors didn't come out. So New Year's resolution in today's program is really about thinking seriously the why we do what we think we want to do or we say we want to do. And then having processes, you searching for processes. Are you part of an association? They all have coaching, mentoring opportunities. And if they don't, you start one. I know with the Tri-State, I was fortunate enough to be with two individuals who started their program, and I've watched and I've learned, and I've seen how people become engaged. I've seen how people become narcissistic and think that it's just for them, for whatever reason, but they just want to take it and run. And that's okay. That if that gets them where they want to go, great. But I know out of experience, I know when I pick up my stock portfolio here with Exxon, and I see an individual who is chairman of Johnson & Johnson, now a director at ExxonMobil, talk about change as a way of life, talks about adaptation as a way of thinking, not just for business, more importantly, for our individual lives. Even here, African First Ladies, this is July 2013, investing in women, which to me is a whole other issue. We won't bring that up just yet. And you'll see Laura Bush and President George W. Bush. I don't know why they're there, but anyway, in recognition of many first women in Africa. These are women that run their countries on the continent of Africa. There's a resolution. All young girls should identify a woman around the world, both living or non-living, who is either the prime minister, the premier, or in one way, shape, or another, influences a country or corporation's business. Government for the country, business for the corporation. Write a paper on it. That would be a great resolution for parents to learn themselves what changes their children will affect, be affected by. I think the future holds great promise for those that wish to engage in it. If you hold on to the tenets of the past, and believe that that is the best and optimum, then you lose the opportunity of what new knowledge can do for you. Even if you're 60, 65, you may still have another 20 plus years to live. What are you going to do with those 20 years? Is next year's resolution going to be the same as this? Is it that you're going to feel technology is too much for you and you can't carve out a niche for yourself with your current skills? Can you not use your current skills and learn something new that you enjoy, that you are naturally gravitate towards, and use technology as a supporting role? There are so many opportunities to volunteer with corporations, volunteer with nonprofits, and have people who are more apt at technology reciprocate and help you. If you were to start an interest in quilting and happen to help people who are physically challenged and happen to start a forum that allowed people to communicate around the world and connect at a whole different level. This is what managing change really is about. my professional side, the coaching, the mentoring, the keynote speaking, the consulting, which I will be rolling out that formally come the third week in January. That's the business end. This program and the guests that I have on this program is about community. It's about opening opportunities to conversation. It is about allowing people to understand that change is, it's not just inevitable, it's not just a part of life, but rather it is a mind shift from an industrial mentality of only certain people can do certain things and the rest of us, well, good luck, to what resources are out here that can help me move along the path of life I wish, realize the goals and dreams that I want, and support them as much as I'm expecting them to support me. Until we get back to fundamentals of communicating, talking to one another, and disagreeing with one another, and being willing to understand why we disagree, then I think the real opportunity to all this technology will be left to the corporations to ferret out our behavior and pitch products to us in more and more sophisticated ways. And you've heard, of course, how they're using music to associate back to neuroscience, back to neurolinguistic programming, back to Maslow's law of basic needs, how they use music and celebrities to position a product in the minds of the people. We have become so mature as a creature that it's sad that more of us don't understand the susceptibility of the herding mentality, the stimulus, the retinal stimulation. You've heard me talk about Jerry Bruckheimer before with his CSI and Bad Boys. It's all in your face, action, action, action. At its core, it stimulates our, I'm going to use this term, neurons, and makes us behave in an automatic manner. Some of you may have heard the concept of if you have a customer say yes 5, 6, 7 times, you could say something quite profound that 7th or 8th time, and they'll still say yes. That is core conditioning. And managing change is bringing all of these skill sets to this platform and having subject matter experts from people who are students, we've had groups of students on, to people who are seasoned public relations, corporate executives, educational directors and presidents, share with you their path. And you, as a good fisherman, you'll have your rods in the lake, in the river, in the pond, in the ocean, and as you bring up that catch, you'll decide whether it meets your needs. And with any New Year's resolution, you should test it, poke it, make sure the eyes are not gray, make sure the skin is firm, make sure that it has a bit of fight to it. Because the irony is, if you don't engage, if you don't put yourself out of your comfort zone, then you're going to be susceptible to someone else's. Because there's always pressure. I pay taxes as a homeowner. There's a certain percentage of taxes that goes towards the welfare of children in my state. And it's not low-income children. It's anyone with a child that the state of New Jersey requires me to help sustain that child's education. So just that alone tells you that seemingly removing yourself from the playing field does not exempt you from having to pay a tax because the playing field has been built. It needs service. It needs to be maintained. So our resolution should really be a willingness to engage, maintain, and seek out the right resources and make ourselves a little uncomfortable. Because once you become comfortable, you've killed yourself. Every creature on the planet has to feel a certain amount of worry. And as we'll certainly have another guest I'm working on who talks about the science of not just chaos and uncertainty, but worry itself. Not trauma, but worry, a certain amount of nervousness, certain amount of anxiety, if you will. They call it good anxiety. So as we finish up our program today, December the 31st, it's been an incredible year. I am pleased that we are ready to go to the next level, even with all the challenges, certainly supporting the program. And I've learned that there are some opportunities to possibly get, crowdsource funding. We will be looking into how to position our program because we've got a lot of people listening now and coming onto the site, looking at some of the content. Of course, we have to go back and edit out certain things that just to polish it up, you know. Some of the programming I did on a Wednesday, but we placed it on a Thursday. Some of it was on a Tuesday, but we didn't play it until a Saturday. Things of that nature. And, of course, we ask you to feed us back information. We've kept the audio pitch, by the way, where at the bottom now. We've moved it from the right-hand side down to the bottom where you can add, I think, up to 2 to 3 minutes of audio comments to the site, and we pull those once a week, and then we start looking at some of that feedback. We also have started a contributors. We're looking for writers, people who would like to write on the topic of change, organizational change, managerial change, change in family dynamics, and we'll vet that for a while. We hope to take the year 2014 and really build that section out. So if you know someone, if you are a writer, and this is a community that you wish to connect upon, let us know. We will. We are open to discuss that. In the meantime, by all means, join us every Tuesday and Thursday from 7 to 8 on Blog Talk Radio, and of course on managingchange2.com. And we will continue to, wait a minute, we have someone here. I did not see this. Let me see if I can connect with this person before we wrap up this evening. And we will see if we can get a question. Let's see if we can get a question from this person on today's topic of another year of resolutions, really. What are your resolutions? Are they serious resolutions? Are they resolutions that perhaps came from the past and you need to go back and take a look and see whether you can revisit them, rekindle them? Are they important enough to want your attention for 2014? And most importantly, don't get caught up in mainstream. You know, forever we've been talking about how if you listen to certain news, that's the way your day, your week, your months, and at the end of the, before you know it, the year has finished out and you're just following someone else's issues. And we don't want to necessarily do that. We want to really kind of craft out our own. So we wish you a safe New Year's. We hope to see you in the new year. We'll have our program on the 2nd, which is Thursday, and we'll kick it off with some interesting news of what we are doing, some of our guests that we will be having, and what you can expect. And we will, in the future, I think, open the chat room and see if we can involve some of our listening audience to our guests. I think some of you will be very interested, certainly, in the guests in the next 90 days. We've got a nice lineup. And in fact, I was asked to come into Columbus CEO as a magazine for Columbus United States State, and talk to some of their CEOs, and we're putting that together. So that's going to be an interesting opportunity to share business needs, business skills from another state that impact us. So once again, my name is Ronald Allen. This is Managing Change. We thank you very much for being a part of our community. We welcome constructive contributions, and we wish you a happy and safe and healthy new year.
You have been listening to Managing Change with your host, Ronald Allen, on Internet Blog Talk Radio with guests providing their perspectives about you, the individual, the family nucleus, your career, your business, and your entrepreneurial spirit, life's perspectives about managing change. Join Ronald and guests every Tuesday and Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. for another episode about managing change on InternetBlogTalkRadio.com. Remember, the program is now showcased on ManagingChange2.com, where you can search for your favorite guest interview or get in touch with them and start a chat, enter their forum, or start your own public or private group to engage others in managing change. Catch Managing Change Internet Blog Talk Radio.com. Search Managing Change every Tuesday and Thursday evenings at 7 p.m. Be seeing you.